All right, coming up again tomorrow on the show, we will have our NFC team-by-team predictions. Who will make it out of the NFC before the NFC / NFL opener tomorrow night between the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Friday, we will have our AFC predictions, being that they don't get going Friday night in Brazil, Chiefs, Chargers. So we'll do the NFC tomorrow, AFC, plus our dueling Super Six Pack. Yesterday, we went inside the projected box score. Today, we're reacting to what do you have most confidence in for week one. Yesterday, we did what do you fear the most in week one. We've talked about Nikki Javala and The Athletic. Sorry, Nikki. And an 8-9 record being a possibility. Nobody cares what I think. Nobody cares. I mean, I've been doing this so long, people are so, either you're in or you're out on me. And a lot of you are out on me because you think I'm some big, bad, just maniac, which could be nothing further from the truth. I mean, AMAC knows. He works with me almost every day that he's here. I am not a maniac. Am I? I'm not a maniac. I'm the nicest guy I know. Right?
It's all about how you feel about yourself, Rooster.
Yeah.
If you feel that way about yourself, I support it.
I want you to say, you know what, Rooster,
What about if I don't want to say it?
But you have your flaws, but you're a really nice guy. You don't want to say that?
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm just being put on the spot here. And you're like pushing me into a corner.
Of course called live radio.
Maybe.
It's unscripted. I'm trying to bust your chops.
Maybe if you stop fishing for the compliment, I'd give it to you. But all now right. You're like fishing for it. Now I don't want to give it.
There's a great Garth Brooks remake. I forget who did the original, but I believe it's called Fishing in the Dark.
Mm.
It's a great tune. It's just a great little hootenanny of a show, of a tune.
Of tunes, I keep forgetting to come back to your song.
Don't mess with Bill. The question is whether Bill is going to be messed with on Sunday. I hope so. I hope they play the four running backs. I'm willing to sacrifice somebody else. I'm willing to sacrifice an eighth offensive lineman so that I can have Bill. I want Bill. I want Eckler. I want Chris Rodriguez Jr., and I want Jeremy McNichols. I want it all, damn it. All four of them. If I'm not mistaken, they did not do four running backs all of last year. I don't remember the game. If there was, it was like one game because of an injury concern. But I haven't had the time to research it, but I'm almost pretty sure they didn't do four running backs for any games. I know they didn't do it for any games down the stretch. I know that. But I'm pretty sure all year long they only had the three running backs active.
I have a question, and this is a little bit off topic.
Please.
And we can quickly move past it. Of course we can. It's your show.
What?
I said, of course we can. It's your show.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you want, of course you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. If the Giants win, how worried do you think fans and yourself would be in that instance? Do you think that is a signal for alarm, or do you think, okay, like this is more so the Giants are a tough team, they're improved, we have to see how things are. Will you be concerned with the Giants opening loss? How concerned would you be?
You damn well should be. Not because the Giants aren't capable. Not because the Giants aren't improved. Not because the Giants tend to play the Commanders pretty well. I think I read a number that the Commanders, or by any other name, football team, Redskins, haven't won three in a row over the course of obviously two seasons against the Giants in like 20-some-odd years. I mean, the Giants have every right to win this game. They are not heavy underdogs. They are not, oh, just damn glad to be here. They are not just here for the show. They have every right to win this game. However, if you said to me, they lose 20-19, depending on how they lose 20-19, I would be concerned, obviously, about that. My guess is that would come down to special teams, like a missed kick somewhere along the way, which they cannot have. But if they got ambushed 40-8, I would be very concerned. But you know, the first thing for me, I'm just telling you, I'm telegraphing, I'm pre-scheduling Monday's show. If they lose by any sort of margin, outside of maybe a point in a heartbreaker and a well-played game on both sides and just one team had to win and one team lost, what I'm going to say if they lose by any margin is they did not work hard enough during this camp. They didn't. In any reasonable approach, in any reasonable view, they had a pretty easy preseason. They hardly played anybody that really mattered in the three preseason games. Hardly.
So it sounds like you think that no matter win or loss, because whether
I'm already disappointed by the workload, absolutely, and how. Now they would dispute it. They would dispute it. They would say, no. You have it all wrong. These guys are in the building for 8 hours, 9 hours a day, 10 hours a day, whatever it is. You have no idea what you're talking about. You don't. Yeah, we go hard when we go hard. All that stuff. I got it. I was at most of the practices. Those practices were not that hard. They weren't. I was at most. I'm not saying that they weren't at times difficult. They were not that hard. All things being equal. That being said, I think if they lose, however they lose, if they lose on Sunday, it just leads you to say and believe and think that they weren't ready to go for whatever reason, and people then start to look at the reason or reasons. And part of that could be, hey, was Dan Quinn too easy on them? Was Dan Quinn too soft on them? Were they too big for their britches? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. That's probably an old man term that AMAC you probably can't relate to. Do you know what too big for your britches means? Any idea?
Yes, Rooster, I've heard that phrase.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Very popular phrase.
I just want to make sure the 30 and under crowd might not know.
I am no longer. Okay, I guess I am 30 and under.
30 and under. That's why I said it like that.
How do you know how old I am?
Because I work with you every day.
But I lied about my age.
By the way, somehow because of your extended vacation, you have escaped the wrath of the birthday celebration. We used to, long live Pete Medhurst, and even after, we would have birthday celebrations on the birthday of, you know, if you had to come to work, we tried to, you know, get sweets or bagels or whatever. So I'm going to ask you this kindly, gently. I make fun of you for your bougie salads every day. I don't believe you had one today. I didn't see it, but I didn't check on you.
I mean, by bougie guys, you mean sweet green. Yeah. But yes, I had a sweet green salad.
Would you like me to get you a sweet green salad for a birthday lunch? Or would you like bagels? Would you like something else?
I'm very self-deferential when it comes to these things, so I don't know. I mean, if I don't want to reject it, but if it's on your way, whatever. Could be a cupcake, it'd be a slice of pizza, Rooster. I appreciate the gesture.
Okay.
The fact that you're willing to do that, it really does, truly. I know we bust each other's chops a lot, but it truly does mean a lot. But you don't have to. You can show up here tomorrow and I would not think anything of it. You can show up here tomorrow without anything and I wouldn't think anything of it.
That might depend on how chaotic my life is because I've
exactly.
got
That's what
a
I'm
million
saying.
Things. So I'm not promising tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I know for right now, I can't bring it in on Friday, so it's either tomorrow or next week.
Or it can be never. But
it will be at some point.
I appreciate
it. But I just wanted to know whether you wanted the bougie salad, the high rent district salad, or whether you wanted something like fun.
Like fun. That was good. I like that. I think my salads are fun, but
I'm sure they're a ball of joy. Sure. I mean, I love salad. There is not many salads that I've identified as fun.
Dude, that is so hilarious because I feel like that's me. Like, that's just, I'm so basic. You're just like, oh, he's having fun with his
Except
stupid salad.
When you say you're basic, right, you show up here week one of the Giants, Commanders of the NFL season in your Malik Nabers jersey and your Giants hat.
Yeah.
Now, we're not on video because we're not that important. But.
Why are you trying to burn this down here?
But. I say you got a little bravado to you. Mm. You've got a little, I want to bleep with them to you. I like it. I like it.
This is your show, man.
No.
I appreciate the thought.
No. Whatever you decide. We work together on this show.
Whatever you decide to get.
When you're here, it's our show.
No.
How about that? How do you like them apples?
Yeah.
Big apples or no? No?
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah.
Let's go Giants. Our Giants.
Wow. Coming up next, Richard. Dr. Walker. Ricky. Coming up. He's going to join us. Get his spin. Early spin on New York Giant Week, baby. Yeah. Doc's all upset because I drank coffee out of a Jets mug this morning. Wow, did I say that on the radio? Wow! Next on the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, tune in! All right, coming up today at 4 o'clock Eastern time, that's 1 o'clock for those of you in Southern California, which, yeah, I mean, it gave us the legend. It gave us the rights to be associated with somebody who's just dripping with gold. Somebody who walks around with an aura of invincibility.
Well, I do know some pretty important people. The guy who created the exotic
Smash Mouth football.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Wait, is that an individual that we both know that created exotic Smash Mouth football?
Well, I kind of know him. I'm not supposed to say.
Oh.
Well, he's kind of a celebrity now.
Uh-huh. I thought he took that from the Tennessee Titans.
Well, he did.
And created it his own.
He's a thief, a property thief.
Yeah. Final hour of power is something I've heard
a
lot of.
How
about the six pack, right? I mean, first of all, we must acknowledge on a show that starts off by saying, acknowledge me, Washington, D.C., Roman Reigns style.
Yeah.
Your mom would,
sister.
Right? And your sister.
She's
just
in love with him, Roman Reigns.
So,
he's got a poster.
Yeah.
A full life poster.
Yeah. I mean, you just got
it. In the hospital, just broke some ribs. Man, my mom and my sister, I know everything about AEW. My mom was worried she must watch 14 hours of that stuff a day. It's and it's nobody ever wins in their rings. Everybody wins. They don't win in the ring. They win outside the ring. I mean, but it's entertainment.
Yeah.
At its highest.
Well, I'm going to watch AEW tonight because it's been a couple of weeks since I've been able to, outside of maybe 5 minutes, 5 minutes there. While I'm preparing for the show tomorrow, while I'm doing my NFC predictions, you're hosting.
You're predicting too, right?
I think it's safe to say that we're all making predictions. I didn't, but the difference is I don't steal my show concepts from my colleagues. And then create them as my own. And paint them as my own.
Why not?
You know what I do, right?
I know. Exactly.
Because a certain somebody stole my six-pack.
Oh, yeah.
And branded it.
Super six-pack.
Right. Yeah. Branded it as his own.
I know. That's what he does.
Okay. What I did last year was the dueling.
Yeah.
The two dual super six-packs in one segment.
Right.
The most revolutionary.
Yeah.
The most creative, original, never been done before.
That's right. And he did it.
No, I did that.
He stole it?
He didn't, because he stole the original.
Yeah.
He stole the original. Mm-hmm. Then I, to bleep with him, decided to come up with the dual six packs in the same segment. So we picked the six games, including every Commanders game, whether we like it or not, against the spread, but five other games against the spread.
Right.
And then we ranked the top six teams, but we don't do it from 6 to 1, like a certain somebody does it.
Right.
We do it from 1 to 6.
1 to 6, yeah. Well, Burgundy and Bowl.
Yes.
You know, I went to him, I go,
yeah.
He actually thinks that he created it. He wasn't even in diapers when I said that. I mean, it's like, but I love it when he does it because, you know, it's like being at a daycare and seeing the one kid who is always happy. He's always got a toy, you know, and he's just happy. And it's good. He loves what he does. He's dripping in it, and it's all good.
I love getting Doc's dander going a little bit when it comes to because it doesn't take much. But when I can add to it, because I know you're zeroed in, you're locked in, you're honed in on everything that the L train is doing. Everything. I also know that you have to deal with it a lot. Right?
Well, we all do.
Yeah.
He's the property of the community. He's a communal property.
You know what helps, Doc? Right. You know what helps deal with somebody like Linnell?
You don't answer your phone.
Well, that and some Paisano's pizza.
Oh, Paisano's.
Oh. I love from Paisano's besides the pizza.
Okay.
Their gyro salad.
Oh man.
Have you ever had the gyro salad there?
Yes.
Oh, it's so tremendous.
And Coach now, when you see Coach, he's got his own pizza. I think when you've arrived, when you have your own anything.
Yeah.
When you brand something. I'm waiting on Big L to get an endorsement.
I mean, so they fired Kerrigan.
I'm just teasing. They didn't fire Kerrigan. Yeah. Kerrigan's coaching.
I'm just teasing. Yeah. But they gave DQ his own pizza spot. But you know who's still got his own pizza spot? It's the DOC.
I'm representing the people. I'm representing the people that don't have a voice.
The voiceless.
That's my thing. Because you got to have somebody in there that's ordinary. You just can't have all these celebrities and coaches. And you got to have a blue-collar guy.
Doc, speaking of blue-collar guys, you're a workhorse. You're a guy that's going to be grinding away on Sunday. I know you've got your depth chart on your living room wall, right? You're constantly changing.
No, I'm not.
I know you're already working on your draft board.
No, I'm not.
That's what I've heard.
That's
Where are you going to be on Sunday? That's what I want to know. That's what the people need to know.
Well, it's undisclosed
because
I want to be at Northwest because I want to honor Santana Moss. And
are they doing that at halftime, right? I assume that's when they're doing it?
I don't know. I wasn't lucky enough to make the final cut. But I remember doing it, you know, with B. Mitch and Monty and new guys on. It's the greatest thrill to see somebody that you saw intimately in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Ankle, hamstring pulls, dislocated fingers. You see I recall all the down times and how they fought through it to get to where they are. Everybody thinks Santana, who's been gifted since birth, he went through his own version of your favorite coach. When you've had bad coaching or bad leadership or a dysfunctional organization, it can ruin your whole career. He survived it and thrived in it and gave a lot of us. I had Goldsboro on the phone. That was the best moment. It was better. Well, not better. It was close to Super Bowl euphoria for me.
Mm-hmm.
And 8-9, Cowboy killer. And he's going to join me today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cowboy killer.
See, I'm surprised they didn't do this before the Cowboys game.
It would have been.
It's late this year. Oh, it's on Christmas Day. So yeah, that's maybe
right.
Why.
Yeah, that's probably
maybe
why.
That's why. Okay.
It would have. No, let's do it now. Let's give him his roses because, you know, he's working in the games. But, you know, Smoot and B, and God bless B, man. He just. Just a remarkable talent and dealing with things in his life, and we pray for him and his family. So when you get a chance to see these guys come in, you know, as you've been on that sidelines, you've been in that press box, when this is your part of everything you do, and you watch these guys work, we're working, they're playing a game, and we're working watching their game, but we see the pain.
Yeah. Well, you know, once they had me down on the sidelines, mm-hmm. And then they told me, yeah, Mike Shanahan doesn't want to talk to you. He wants to talk to Doc.
Well, that
so I said, okay.
That's
I said,
Sheehan's guy. You know,
I know. But I said, what? I mean, who am I to fight City Hall. I said Doc's got to be back behind the mic.
Contract he had to do.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
But he wanted to talk to you, not to the fat guy.
I don't believe that.
Yeah,
I don't believe you're the most sought after.
I don't know about that,
dude. Everybody, I mean, Cock-a-doodle-doo is just so. I mean, it's just you. So you and him, and I don't know what happened to Wednesdays. I understand that Burgundy and Gold today.
Well, they have broken apart everything. They have destroyed everything, right? They said no Doc on Tuesdays,
no
Linus on Wednesdays,
no
Lionel on Thursdays.
Well, he's on every day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But you know what they didn't say? No AMAC, even though the Young Buck decided to show up in a Malik Nabers jersey and a Giants hat eve of week one.
I'm going to get him, but not today, because that'd be cheap. And I do think, if I were into predictions, the Giants are scary.
Yeah, they are.
Because what they do best, we haven't proven yet that we can handle it.
Yeah, no doubt. I said the thing that scares me the most yesterday about week one, just week one, is the Giants pass rush against rebuilt offensive line. Now, that being said, I mean, the last time they played, granted, different on both sides and probably less talent on both sides, quite honestly, the Commanders didn't allow a sack at MetLife Stadium last October. That being said, and the Giants came into that game leading the NFL in sacks, didn't get one.
Yeah, no, they're good.
That being said, we know this. Every year is different. Every game is different. Every week is different. Everything is different. And I think the Giants' pass rush is even better this year. Now, I don't know where Dexter Lawrence is other than healthy and ready to play. Yeah. I don't know where he is after that injury late last year, which was I think it was quadriceps torn or whatever it was.
Yeah, but he's there.
Yeah,
he's playing again. And our best guy in the program is not there.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah.
Cosby,
is it now Tunsil?
No. Right now it's Cosby. I haven't seen Jerry Tunsil in our uniform.
Okay.
I got to see him here. I don't.
Okay. So you're saying everything that he did prior to here doesn't matter.
Inside. Because Tunsil wouldn't be up against him. He's thick
against
inside,
Dexter Lawrence.
Against Lawrence. Yeah. He's on the outside.
Well, Coleman and Biadasz are obviously going to have their hands full. And it depends on how they line up Lawrence.
He did it in college. It's not going to be a shock to any of them. He played big time, high level Oregon football. Wiley, to me, is just a godsend.
Who do you think is going to be the right guard on Sunday? Because I haven't been able to make up my mind between Wiley and Allegretti.
Says he's the best. Wiley is he's my ace.
I think it's going to be Wiley.
I think, I don't know.
Because Allegretti's your backup center, and he's your backup left guard and right guard.
You might be
right. I think Trent Scott is your backup guard / backup tackle.
He has done a remarkable job.
Yeah. I'm going with seven offensive linemen, and that's it on Sunday. Allegretti and
Scott.
You're not
bringing the big banger? 75.
Unless I'm forgetting. Oh, the one that they signed, Fant.
Well, no, I wouldn't have Fant up front. I'd have, brain dead.
I can't remember.
Last year's rookie, but he lost about 20 pounds in the offseason.
Oh, Coleman?
No, Coleman just started. Coleman will come out of TCU, who, by the way, let me say that quietly, because there might be some Carolina grads around, and I don't want to say that too loud.
Right. Who am I forgetting from last year? Why am I forgetting this? I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to look it up. Chris Paul?
Yeah.
There we go. So, I mean, I want to play everybody, but I can't play everybody. So maybe I'm going eight offensive linemen on Sunday on the game day active. Somebody's going to have to sit, whether it's Chris Paul, whether it's Trent Scott, whether it's – I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it's Allegretti, but I don't see that because he's
like
the backup
Scott,
center.
His girth.
Yeah.
Lawrence is an enormous dude with great talent.
Mm-hmm.
He's enormous. So. Yeah. I like to say, either way it goes, I like it because I like the way we schemed and run. Although I only got to see 11 plays, I'm anticipating that our running game, because they got to focus on JD. It's like playing Baltimore now. I don't care. Henry's in the backfield, yeah. but you got to focus on two freaks. That's going to give us an edge.
Real quickly, because I know you have much bigger things to do than this stupid radio show.
You got Big L coming up next?
No. No, I banned him.
Good for you.
Real quickly, I said the thing that I feel most confident about. I talked myself out of the running game because I'm not sure if Bill's going to play. Mm-hmm. The secondary, Neighbors, also Amos is a rookie, missed a little bit of time in camp.
He'll be fine.
I talked myself out of that.
That was a good move.
I said the run defense, which is what everybody's worried about.
Right.
For week one.
That's the unknown.
Against Tyrone Tracy and Cam Scatabo with a non-super mobile quarterback at this point in Russell Wilson is what I'm most confident on.
And you're right.
Really? Okay.
I think you're right.
Attaboy.
Because it's a run game. Doctor. You know Russ can cook. Russ is more play action guy now.
Yeah.
But I think everybody learned from their mistakes. Nobody knows more now about letting the number guy who ended up leading the league in rushing get away. They'll never make that mistake again. Everybody, and we got to not make it either.
Yeah.
We have got to ground and pound our way to making that, then unleashing five. Because as long as five's there, I don't care who's in the running backfield. Everybody's focused on five till they see he doesn't have the ball. Then they go chase the back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of him. Just like Baltimore or Buffalo, when you have one of these oddities, you just can't be Dick Butkus out there
because mm-hmm.
you go the wrong way, go after the wrong guy.
Yeah,
that's what he stabilized their running game. But me, the guy who is the most valuable player outside of five didn't play. I don't think he played a snap in the game or as a running back. I don't want to see him returning kicks. I want to see him in the backfield. That's the other thing that we have so many people that didn't participate in this preseason, it's really going to be a shock to all of us because I don't know what I'm going to say.
Yeah. You don't know what you're going to see.
I don't know what I'm going to say.
I hope they don't come out super lightning fast because you're so excited. It's opening day, this, that. You're fresh. The crowd's sold out crowd, this, that, and the other thing.
If they're physical,
and then,
it'll work.
And then fall asleep at the wheel after the first drive. That's what I don't want to see. I'd rather see them struggle a little bit to get the oil running through the engine and build.
Can we not struggle at all?
Well, I that's fine too.
Okay.
Doc, Burgundy and Gold today, Santana Moss at what time?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
What we're looking at
89.
8 to 9 at 5. Mr. Harvey at 4:30.
I mean, nobody can match the guest power.
No, I need the edge rusher.
Yeah.
The two things we got to talk about. Right. Edge rusher. And the celebration of the greats.
There you go. That is the DOC. Burgundy.
You protected your boy over there. I know what you did. That was called interference. I wanted to get to him. And you know what I mean, brother.
Wait, what'd I do? I'm just over here doing my job, Doc. You know, we got a long week. You got plenty of time to get at me, quote unquote.
Doc, I can make sure that he's, you know, I mean, if you'd like, we could switch him and Michael Penix over there.
Oh, I told him a year ago. I got him. I can't wait.
Wait, you would switch me? You would switch? Wait, first of all, you call Anthony Michael Pennett.
He's got backbone.
He's got he's got the do-rag.
Yeah,
he looks like
Anthony,
Michael Penix.
Anthony's got the
looks like Michael Penix.
Crazy.
Give your big friend, give him my best.
I'll try. All right, that's the DOC. He's coming up, Burgundy and Gold today in about 25 minutes or so. Santana Moss and Ken Harvey coming up on the show. So make sure you join Doc there. We don't have the guest list that Doc has.
We just
grind it out.
We are a meat and potatoes type radio program.
That is caviar and Cabernet Sauvignon coming up starting at 4. Time for a trending alert and then your calls to wrap things up. What's up? All right, we start with the Nationals, who are trying to put the finishing touches on a sweep of all things. It would be their first sweep since mid-May, Baltimore at Camden Yards. They are doubling up the Marlins now 8-4 in the top of the eighth inning. The Mets getting trounced by the Tigers now 6-2 in the eighth inning. Oh, New York, New York. Coming up in just a couple of moments, Texas, Arizona, Baltimore, San Diego at Petco at 4:10 for the afternoon slate in Major League Baseball. Meanwhile, from Cowboy Land, both Trayvon Diggs and left tackle Tyler Guyton have been cleared to play in tomorrow night's season opener for the Cowboys against the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Don't know how much. Brian Schottenheimer wouldn't exactly say that, but they are cleared and going to play, barring a last-minute change. Elijah Vera Tucker of the New York Jets is going to miss the season, according to reports, the Jets fear, due to a significant arm injury. And the Clippers apparently played, Steve Ballmer, their owner, Kawhi Leonard, a secret $28 million for what is being called a no-show job through a now bankrupt company owned by Ballmer, who is worth billions. That, according to Pablo Torre, who, of course, does a podcast and used to work at ESPN. And that's what's trending. All right, thanks to the DOC for joining us and making us laugh. He's coming up at 4 o'clock, Burgundy and Gold today against Santana Moss. Ken Harvey will join him on the show. And no, AMAC, I don't want to trade you. I want you here. I want you to continue to rub in your Giant fandom. If the Giants somehow win on Sunday, I want you
somehow win.
I want you to not only wear your Malik Nabers jersey and your Giants hat, but I want you to. Paulie said yesterday that I wear underoos. I don't know if you do, but I want you to be head to toe Giants on Monday. Be proud. Be loud. Be happy for your team. Are you going to the game, by the way, or no?
No, I'm not.
No, okay. Just gonna hang out, watch the game.
Yeah, season one. I mean, season one. Game one, season opener. Want to be in front of my house, in my house.
Sold out crowd.
Yeah. I don't want to be in enemy territory with the Giants jersey, especially if I'm not.
There's going to be a lot of Giants fans, though.
Yeah, I know, but especially if it goes bad, you know. That's the thing. We don't know. I think for the Commanders, too, just to keep this on theme of the team, there has been a lot of change.
Yeah.
And you keep talking about the schedule. This schedule is brutal, you know.
It's not a bye week. It's not a cakewalk against your Giants.
Yeah. With new pieces, they may have they may take time to get warmed up. We didn't see a lot of people play in preseason action, so
I agree.
No matter how good we think either team is, I think there is a certain level of uncertainty.
Doc might scoff at this, but back when I was a young buck like you in college, although younger than you, I used to go to Bills games, and anybody that they would play for, or play against rather, I would just yell and scream and cheer for so loud just to get so many Bills fans idiots. The Bills Mafia. They weren't even called the Bills Mafia then. Now they're cool. I would get so many of them mad. Oh, when Belichick or when Parcells would come rolling into Ralph Wilson Stadium then. Whew. I would just go ham sandwich on anybody that they would play. Dolphins, Squish the Fish. Oh, it'd be great. So I think you should wear your Giants jersey. I think you should wear it with pride. Doc told me, he'd love to buy you a ticket. Being that you guys get along so well and, you guys can hang out and maybe have some fine caviar. What do you think?
I mean, maybe if the game wasn't – see, this is what I need for me to go to a Commanders game. Like, I need Giants to start fast. Like, have a good season going to, Commanders week 7, week 6, 5-1.
That's how you would go to a game.
Yeah, just confident. Game one, season opener. I want to sit with my lady, with my dad, watch the game.
Is your dad a Giants fan?
Yeah, that's how I became a New York fan. My whole father's side of the family.
And
New York.
and your lady roots for the Giants because of you, or is she a Giants fan?
I mean, she doesn't care.
Well?
I wish she would root harder, but ultimately she does not care.
Okay.
She's just supportive.
But she wants the Giants to win because she knows it'll put you in a happier mood.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. I'm going to wrap up a couple of final phone calls before we get to Dumb Dumb of the Day because we got to leave enough time, and we've got to be out of here by 3:56 because I get yelled at every time for being late, and I don't want to take a single second away from El Doctor. Let's go to, here he is, the aforementioned Paulie in the 757. What up, Paulie?
Hell to the W, man.
Hell to the Paulie.
I'm listening to two dum-dums talk about the Giants already, man. What's going on?
It's not nice to call Doc a dum-dum.
This is Giants Central, man. You know I'm talking to Rufio and AMAC.
Wait,
you know what I mean? Ronald McDonald over there in his clown uniform.
See,
hey man, no Stevie Ray today. Here's another clown.
See, I think once again, as usual, you're looking through the wrong prism. AMAC is undeniably a Giants fan. I grew up a Giants fan, but when I was a free agent, I had unrestricted free agency, and I signed up long term with the Commanders.
Ooh, the hell you did.
What's that noise you make over there, Paulie? I mean, cat got your tongue? What's going on over there?
That application was revoked. What are you talking about, bro?
Go right back
to East Rutherford, New Jersey, brother.
They don't want me there either, Paulie.
Listen, they don't want you
I'm a man without a home, baby.
We've been knowing that from your little clothes basket you carry around. Hey, man, but look, what Nikki Javala's saying, man, you know, she's just talking loser talk.
Everybody's loser talk in your eyes.
Because her whole aspect is of what could go wrong.
Yesterday I did serious analysis, and you're like, that's loser talk. I don't care about Abdul Carter. I don't care about Dexter Lawrence. What is that? He's nothing. He's a gnat on the windshield.
Wrong. I said Dexter Lawrence is the one guy I do care about. Mm-hmm. You talking about Abdul Carter, Thibodeau, and Brian Burns.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not worried about them. Dexter Lawrence, I am most definitely worried about him. On any season, he's a candidate for defensive player of the year. So I'm definitely worried about it. That's the one guy that got my attention. So don't put false statements in my mouth. Pause. Now, let me say this. Like I said, what Javala was saying, everything is from a negative aspect. And if you want to look at it at a negative aspect, yeah, all that things could happen. But positively, you know, with a veteran team, that veteran team can get you wins, you know, will help you have a successful season when you have a schedule that's, you know, working against you, as you like to call it, with the short weeks and the travel and all that. Well, maybe a younger team wouldn't know how to deal with that type of schedule. So let's look at it on the positive side. I mean, will we win 12 games this year? Maybe. Maybe not. You know what I mean? But she's looking at everything from a negative aspect. So, yeah, it's easy to say that, well, injuries and travel and schedule. We don't know what the schedule is. We don't know what the team's going to be, what the other teams are going to be, or how they have injuries, or if they just implode on themselves or whatever. Pause. And all that. So my thing is, I'm looking positively. You know, I'm positive. So positive, I see
positive
at least 11 wins.
All right, I'm positive that I'm out of time.
11 wins, man.
Positive Paulie.
I'm positive.
The Prince of Positivity.
I'm not going to say.
Enough. I got to go. Or I have to gong your ass. Pause. Let's get to Little in D.C. To wrap things up here. Little, before the end of the show, how are you?
What's going on? What's the proper thing to do?
Little, what's shaking, baby?
I want to give AMAC a standing ovation. I'm going to tell you what, AMAC.
Should I stand and applause him as well?
Let me finish.
Okay.
The team only come here one time a year, AMAC. Standing ovation, because guess what? You just jinxed your team, man. You don't come here but one time a year. I'm gonna call the legend later on because I want to give a shout out to Tanner Man, because I was at that game with Mark Brunell. Tanner Man, Cowboy Killer. I was at that game with Mark Brunell, hit him twice.
In Dallas? Really?
Yes, sir.
Attaboy.
Yes, sir. Me and my wife was at that game. Old lady from Texas, Austin. Roots, that's why we getting them deals on that beef down that way. Moving forward, I'm gonna make a statement to you, Roots, because I listened to you. I've been in Chinatown working out a little bit today. Planet Fitness. I had you on the Apple iPod.
Attaboy, thank you.
Man, I told A Mac, if you go home, don't take this the wrong way, because I listen to you, man. You my main man. You and the legend. Every once in a while, I call a coach. I call Shin. But, man, if you go home and say, wifey, this is a guy that called me Mr. Reluctant. Tell me what you think about that. Man, I got money on your wife to say, oh, that name fits you, honey.
Wait, I'm Mr. Reluctant?
Mr. Reluctant. That's right. But look. When you become adamant about some of this stuff, thank you. Let me tell you this. The way you offset a team that come off the ball, they want to jump off the ball, you run right at them. We'll tell early in the game, if we can run right at them and get about 4.3 yards of carry, then we control this game. That's how you tell off the bat, early in the game. You offset all that. Burns, my with 757, my man coming up in the middle, you run right at them. We establish that. Man, hey, look, I'm going to tell you now, anybody in the league, if we can establish that run, Rooster, I got Kingsbury mixing it up, baby. Now go home and ask your wife, say, hey, this man call all the time, running his mouth. Hey, look, guess what? I'm going to call y'all in about 2 weeks about Smash Burgers. You know we sold out being over in the new stadium. I will have information about it. I give it about 30 days.
I still haven't seen a Smash Burger show up here.
We'll give about 30 days. I'm talking about the new site, the new stadium site. I give about 30 days.
I know. I can't acknowledge you until, you take care of me and my crew, you know?
Oh, yeah, no question.
All right. I got to go, okay? I got to go. I appreciate you. Oh, man. Everybody likes to do their own show on my show. And I allow it to happen. All in the sake of a good laugh. All right, coming up next. This is not funny. Two dudes watching porn. And, they shouldn't have been watching porn. We'll tell you why they shouldn't have been watching porn next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All righty. Yes, indeed. You know what time it is, how we end up every show. Headline in the New York Post, FEMA workers. That's right. FEMA workers fired for watching, in quotes, racially charged porn, including bestiality content, while on government-issued computer devices at work protecting our country. Two FEMA workers who are supposed to be keeping the country safe from terrorism and nuclear meltdowns were fired yesterday for watching racially charged, as it's been described, and other sick porn on the job, according to, again, the New York Post. They were fired after an internal investigation by the Department of Homeland Security's Insider Threat Operations Center, which flagged at least one of them for consuming quote-unquote deviant pornography, which included bestiality, according to DHS officials. Of course, the DHS oversees FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. According to the statement, these individuals had access to critical information and intelligence and were entrusted to safeguard Americans from emergencies, and instead they were consuming pornography. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi, I don't know how to say her name, Noem, said in a statement. And in at least one case, the pornography consumed was racially charged and involved bestialities. They were stationed at FEMA's isolated, sparsely populated Mount Weather Emergency Operations Center near Bluemont, Virginia. And again, the purpose of that facility is to safeguard the homeland against national emergencies, terror attacks, and even nuclear disasters. They used FEMA-issued devices and at least one computer during the workday for their acts. There's more to it, but apparently one of the guys logged on to Reddit for porn purposes at least 578 times over a 30-day period. This is what's happening on your government watch. This is what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Somehow, I'm sure they'll blame somebody else for that. All right, coming up, the DOC will take you through Burgundy and Gold today. Again, Santana Moss joins him at 5 o'clock. Just a quick shout, thanks to Aaron and as well my guy Francis, both my guys, Aaron and Francis over at Honda of Chantilly for taking good care of me and helping me out with my car deal. I got a brand new Honda Civic Sport. Yeah, baby. Going to be flying down the road in all that traffic today. Thanks to those guys for helping me out. All right, we'll see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Doc's next. Adios.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.